Welcome to the Green Business All-Star Podcast, where we interview and spotlight green entrepreneurs and other environmental business leaders who are making a positive impact on our planet while making a profit. With your host, Anne Meador. Thank you so much for joining us today on the Green Business All-Star Podcast. Today's episode, I interview Christine Brown, founder of KindCup. KindCup is another great example of taking an existing product that's been around for a long time, and in this case, almost 100 years, that's a long time, and making it better through innovative design, social impact, and using more sustainable products. You'll also find out about how she went from idea to product and the challenges along the way. Make sure you stay until the end of the interview for a special discount code when you purchase a KindCup. Unfortunately, we had some technical difficulties along the way, so the interview was unintentionally cut short. My apologies to everybody listening and Christine, and I hope we can do another interview in the near future. But don't fret, there's still a lot of value in this interview, and I hope you enjoy it. Hi, today we have Christine Brown, founder and designer of KindCup. KindCup designer and founder Christine Brown believes a better period starts with great design. In 2017, Brown set out to create a more comfortable and convenient period product, one actually designed to fit your body, and launched with the first product at the end of 2019. Intentionally designed and manufactured in California, KindCup is committed to setting new standards in quality, sustainability, and social impact. Building an innovative medical device company from the ground up involves a multitude of niche specialties. Brown delved into product design, writing and securing patents in two different patent categories, and complying with FDA regulatory requirements. From the start, Brown has remained committed to transparency and maintaining high standards of quality and sustainability from manufacturing to menstruation. An institutional design specialist and lifelong design hobbyist, Brown is passionate about creating innovative products that provide added value and positive impact in ways that are kind to your body, the earth, and others. Integrated with these foundational values, Brown believes in the importance of holding space for authenticity and inclusivity as a queer, hard of hearing, and non-binary individual. Prior to becoming a medical device startup entrepreneur, Brown worked briefly in architecture and design in Washington, D.C., then in international education administration in Italy. Brown taught at community colleges and high schools in California, creating intersectional learning environments that supported curiosity and empowered students to think critically. Born into a long line of farmers and stewards of the land, Brown has a deep appreciation for nature and lives in the middle of an avocado orchard in Carpinteria, California. Sorry about that. Christine, thank you for joining us on the podcast today. I really appreciate it.
Thank you for the opportunity.
Yeah, so I have a lot of questions for you just off the bat. And one of the things that caught my mind is caught my attention was that you're an institutional design specialist. What exactly is that? And that's your background. Can I take a guess?
Go for it.
Is it institutional, like colleges and universities and that kind of thing? Or am I totally off?
I mean, sure. Let's go with that. That's according to my CV, that is okay. my design background. It was at the graduate school where I was in DC. I had an opportunity afterwards to take up a job there and delved into all different kinds of design aspects that were human-centric in focus. And that came in handy down the road. So I'm very grateful for that opportunity.
Yeah. So I know that's not what we're here to talk about today, but I just found that very interesting. And a lifelong design hobbyist, that sounds like a lot of fun.
Yep.
But let's dive into KindCup. If you can, you know, delve a little deeper and tell us about this. I have to, in all honesty, I am not from very little familiarity with these, the cups. I don't even remember what the correct term is for it. So if you could explain it, that would be great.
Be happy to. Menstrual cups, believe it or not, they've actually been around for almost 100 years now, which blew my mind. I did not even know about cups until, I believe, 2011. And it was just by chance that I even found out what they were. So menstrual cups, and let me actually just show an example here. They are designed to collect your menstrual fluids as opposed to pads and tampons. which absorb them to, you know, various degrees. And this does not interact with your body in the way that a scratchy, dry tampon might, or a soggy pad. And I'm using words that are descriptors that anyone who's used those products can probably relate to very easily.
For sure.
This is phenomenal in comparison from an experience standpoint, because the medical grade silicone does not interact with your body in the way that those inorganic materials do. And so it looks kind of large, but you just fold it down, insert it, and then it pops open to create the seal. And then that's what will collect the fluids from your cervix and give you so much more capacity, which is another aspect that is a huge benefit to using a menstrual cup. There's a whole list of them, but those are some of the beginner points.
And I just have to ask, so is it when you're taking it out, you have to be very careful? Is that, or I'm trying not to be too graphic, but you know, spillage is what I'm thinking of. Yeah.
Sure. Yeah. To a certain degree. So yes, I mean, let's say you go up the full 12 hours before you need to empty it, which is ideal, but it of course depends on your flow that day. I'm someone who can go the full 12 hours, no problem. It might be teetering towards the top there, but it's not an issue. But for removal, you simply, if you need to, you can use my patented design has an elongated removal stem that's super flexible and comfortable, but gives you that reassurance that you'll actually be able to reach your cup, which was one of the more obvious design features that I incorporated, because so many people who use cups, they didn't have anything. A lot of times that was it. Maybe you would get that much grippage. And that's not enough for a lot of people, because they have, let's say, a higher cervix, and all of a sudden they're freaking out because they can't reach it. But for removal, this can act as a guide to reassure you that, yes, in fact, you will be able to locate the base of the cup, give it a little pinch to break the seal, and then you just slowly, usually over the toilet or in the shower in case you're worried about leakage and spillage, just empty it out, wash it out, and then it's just a quick pop back in and keep going.
Yeah. Wow, that's amazing that they've been around for such a long time. That's just, that blows my mind. Mm-hmm. So from a sustainability, environmental, and from a green perspective, I saw some stats on your website about like how many tampons that equates to as far as, you know, saving from a waste perspective and just.
It's a lot.
Yeah, it's unbelievable, right?
Mm-hmm.
So let's talk about, you know, how you came up with the idea. I guess basically this is a product that you have used and you said, hey, there's a better way to do it, which is the best way to start a business, I think, or one of them. Is that how it came to fruition?
Essentially, I got tired of waiting for what I in my mind thought were obvious design improvements. It was a no-brainer to switch from tampons to menstrual cups once I did find out about them. I think it was 2011. Immediate convert. It made so much sense to me. But that said, with my design background, the way that I think, what I thought were obvious changes, I thought the existing companies would make them. And after a few years of waiting, no one was. And so I hopped online and was just curious if I was the only one who thought that cups could be better and provide a more user-friendly, comfortable, effective experience just in general. And it turns out, you know, you read a few hundred reviews of people sharing about cups and their experience and frustrations and thinking that something's wrong with their body, to realize that there's nothing wrong with their bodies. They just needed a cup that was better designed to actually work for them. And I decided I'd give it a go.
That's great. So you have a design background. So how do you go from idea and improvements in your head to actually designing it? Do you use software? Do you draw it? How did you get to that next step?
Great question. It was an idea in my head to start off, and a lot of sketches. a lot of different just notes and iterations. And my phone was full of just ideas that I'd jot down on my notes and literal scrap pieces of paper lying around. When something came to me, I'm like, oh yeah, I'll do that too. There's over 20 different design elements that are seamlessly incorporated into this, which is part of what makes it truly innovative. In a space that hadn't seen a lot of innovation for so long. So a lot of different iterations, and then fortunately being able to connect with the CAD specialists who actually had a background in doing these types of design projects. And so we connected, and at first it seemed like a lot of changes, and most people just go, ah, just make one change, two changes, call it good, you know? And that wasn't what I was wanting to do. I was wanting to truly provide a unique user experience that was going to make a meaningful difference for the users.
Yeah. Awesome. So for somebody who wants to design something themselves, and you said you knew a CAD person. Now, did you go out and hire a CAD person, or you just had a friend who knew it, or an acquaintance? How would somebody
It was a search.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a search. So many times in this process, I would come up against a challenge of how do I do this next step? I don't have that specific area of expertise. There's a lot of stuff I did figure out and work towards, but I knew that I wasn't about to try and figure out how to do CAD to a point where it can become a machine readable file and manufacture it, you know? So fortunately, I was referred from actually my CM, my contract manufacturer, to someone who was able to take that on.
So you had your contract manufacturer before you had the design done?
I was doing everything all at once.
All at once?
So I was researching the material sourcing. I was researching the manufacturing capability. I knew I wanted to keep everything hyper local. So everything is sourced and manufactured within a 2-hour driving radius. Sometimes the various components that were being manufactured, I would find out kind of at the 11th hour that, oh, they actually can't do this, and I would have to find a new manufacturer for the packaging, for example, because my instructions, in my opinion, actually included the instructions that someone needed to be successful with their cup and truly understand how it worked with their body. And as simple as that was, I actually had to switch manufacturers just to find someone who could do that. So a lot of it is looking it up, referrals, and just putting it out there to find out who will be the right fit. And sometimes trial and error, making sure that it truly is the right fit as you're going through the process.
Yeah, I give you much credit for sourcing everything within 2 hours, you said, of where you're located. That's very impressive. I know that also it's got to increase the costs, but you do a good product, people are willing to pay the extra money for it.
I agree.
So talk about the materials that you use. You said it's medical grade silicone. So
it is.
So yes, that's manufactured in California?
Yes, it's 100% medical grade silicone and pigment. I have to say, I didn't realize how important the transparency on doing something like this would be. I mean, I knew it was for me, but now that I understand the nuances of wording, and now that I understand how things work behind the scenes, behind the NDAs, behind, you know, all of that side of things, I am truly proud to be able to say that we actually do everything the way that it should be done. And unfortunately, that's not always the norm. And that should not be the case. There shouldn't even be a question when it comes to these types of products or any product, and for that matter, where you're questioning whether or not it's what you should be able to put in your body. So it's not only just 100% medical grade silicone and pigment, but I then, you know, went, okay, well, what's the best? And that's what we use throughout.
So what is the pigment? Because I know when you see other stuff, you have colors added, and some of the times that's not good stuff that they add to stuff. So
yes, it's a short way of putting it is cost, cutting corners. Sometimes it'll be fillers or non-medical grade materials, things that, in my opinion, why not just do it the right way? It costs a lot more. So that's the answer right there for some companies. But for me, that's a non-negotiable.
I heard you mention on another podcast, how one of your issues with your manufacturers is that they minimize waste from the manufacturing of the your product.
Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't say that's one of the issues. As I was learning about the process, the manufacturing process of doing silicone injection, I had never done. I'll be transparent here. I've never designed and manufactured a medical device before. This was a huge learning curve, and I was incredibly fortunate to connect with people who are experts in various areas, who shared their expertise, shared their knowledge. And through that process, as an outsider, I think that actually was very advantageous in some cases where, you know, sometimes they've done things the same way just out of habit, or just, well, yeah, that's the way it's always been done. So for me, I was able to come at this process with fresh eyes, fresh perspective, and ask, oh, well, if this is how that works, is it possible to, you know, rotate it and take this approach in order to minimize waste, in order to, you know, maximize what we're able to do in this? And oftentimes they would just kind of go, yeah, I think that can be done. And so it was a true collaboration in that sense. And I really do appreciate being able to work with people who are open to that.
Well, that's got to be really hard getting the FDA approval when you've never done anything like this before, right? Lots of red tape. How did you go? What, you know, eat an elephant one bite at a time, right? So how do you figure that out? That's some complex stuff.
It is certainly complex. I, in a way, timing was on my side. This category, for better or for worse, and I'll explain that in a second. This category, not too long before I got into this, changed from having to have 510K pre-market approval to being exempt.
Oh.
In short, that means because this is something that's been around for nearly 100 years, the FDA has other things that they need to spend their very limited resources on, which I totally get. This category was one of those where they're like, you know what? We've seen this. Do everything you need to do. And what that means is a huge amount of paperwork, a huge amount of behind the scenes that I had no idea would take up so much of my bandwidth and time, frankly. And anyone who isn't in medical devices, how would they know? So there's a whole behind the scenes that, you know, with trademarks and patents and regulatory, there's so much that goes into it. It's not just designing and manufacturing and marketing a product. There's a lot more to it. But that said, I am very, very pleased to say that we've gone through the FDA audits. We've gone through the California medical device licensing audits. We've gone through all the processes and have done great, because we've done all the things that we do need to do, regardless of whether or not they were here from day one or just taking our word for it, which unfortunately that can get some companies into trouble because they just do it without doing the work. And then that's unfortunately something where it can create risk for consumers and create issues down the road. But again, I wanted to do this right from the start on all the different levels, and that includes the behind the scenes. So
did you hire consultants to do this for you?
I have hired consultants in all the various aspects. And then, like I said, learned as much as I could about every stage of the business, everything that goes into it.
So for someone who's trying to start a business or wants to start a business that has all these, lack of a better term, moving parts, all these different things that they need to learn and they need to get help from, what kind of advice can you give them besides just go out there and look? Are there any websites or any groups that could help them put these pieces together?
Back in 2016, I actually joined a local, let's say, entrepreneurship program, community-based. It's called the Women's Economic Ventures. And that was part of why I joined it, because I was hoping that there would be a checklist of, okay, what steps do I need to follow? There is not. Not even close, unfortunately. However, I have learned that there are various resources where, through doing the work, and even though I've hired and worked with consultants, I've also basically had to do all of the work. And that's because of being bootstrapped. That's because of not going out and raising hundreds of thousands, let alone millions of dollars, which is what it typically takes for this type of a business. So it took a little longer in that capacity, but I also understand everything that goes into it because I've had to be involved. For most people, I would say get in contact, though, with your SBA. Get in contact with your local business entrepreneur groups and things like that, because you're going to need a network. A lot of this is here at this point because of networking and because I've had to put myself out there and say, hey, does anyone know XYZ? And that's when you just tap into that network.
So you said you bootstrapped this 100%. Did you do any kind of Kickstarter campaign or anything like that to help out?
To launch our size small cup. So we have the size regular, which was the original, and then the size small. So to launch the size small cup, I did do a little Kickstarter, and that was helpful, but not, you know, a runaway success, which I found out as soon as we launched it and finally got access to the behind the scenes, that a lot of times you essentially have to hire marketing teams before you even launch in order for it to get that type of level of success.
Gotcha. So you wouldn't recommend it?
I wouldn't say that. Okay. It served its purpose. It served its purpose. Yeah.
Yeah. Just always been very curious about that process.
There's so many different factors that I don't think I could make a blanket statement, yeah, but for us, it served its purpose.
So before I forget, I love your tagline, better period, better planet. Very clever. You came up with that yourself?
It was a combination of something that I had done, and then my now fiance was like, well, just say this. And I was like, yep, done.
Yeah. That's amazing. I love it. Mm-hmm. You also have a nonprofit partner as well. There's a nonprofit component to your business. Is that correct?
I would say, I say nonprofit partner. I have made donations to them since the day that we launched. So that's been a large part of why I started Kind Cup in the first place. It was important to me that our cups were getting to those who were truly in need of benefiting from a period product that would enable them the stability of not having to choose between food and buying something that they're going to need every single month, you know? So for me, it was very important that our cups went to those in need right from the beginning.
So you did that from the start. And how does that work? Do you do a certain percentage of sales goes to that? Or I see you have people that donate online for that. How do you get it into the hands of the people that need it?
Honestly, it's just what I have the capacity to do. For any donations of people who at checkout, they put 5% of their order towards whatever the amount is, that 100% goes towards it. And then truthfully, I usually double or triple it anyways. And just, I'm like, let's just put more cups in. Financially, it makes absolutely no sense that I'm doing that. But I really, really enjoy being able to make that decision and just do it.
you know, these great things. How about a failure that you ran into or something that didn't go your way along the process that you bounced back from?
I'm trying to think if there's a specific thing. Actually, as
anything in general,
you can see behind me this little blue sticky note, and it says, "You got this. You are making a difference." And I wrote that underneath my shelf because there's plenty of times where I'm just laid flat out on the floor behind me in my office, just going, "How am I going to do this? This is a lot." And it is, as a one person medical device company, which I don't know that there's that many out there, if any, it is absolutely a lot. And I'm fortunate to have a team of people I can call on for sure. There's times where I'm just laid flat out on the floor and wondering if, you know, what am I doing? Is this too much as a one person medical device company? And again, I might be the only one person medical device company out there. It's not common. And I fully understand why now that I've been at it for a few years. But I would say that in terms of a challenge, it's been challenging to find the right people to grow the team in a more permanent way. Because I'm at a point where I no longer want to be a one-person medical device company. And it's been very exciting to be at a point where I'm ready to open that up, open that invitation up to others who can join the vision and be part of this positive impact.
I didn't realize it was just you. Wow.
Yep.
Do you ever get any sleep?
more sleep... more recently, and I'm very grateful for that. It's all the behind the scenes is essentially done. Now I'm able to shift my focus to the marketing and customer facing side of the business and truly get Kind Cup out there.
So then did you say that you are going to be hiring people? You're at the point where you're going to hire people?
That's my focus at this point, to grow the team and invite the right partners in. Yeah.
So some of our listeners don't want to have their own business. They just want to work for one, a green business or a sustainable business. And since you're talking about hiring people, what kind of experience would you be looking for in your business in an employee? Like what kind of... specific skills, open-mindedness, project management, what would you be looking for?
It's a challenging question to answer just because there's a whole range of positions mm-hmm. that I have in my mind at this point, from, you know, C-suite, senior level of someone who could truly come in and be a strategic partner in various capacities, and all the way to individuals who are creative, driven, reliable, excited about the work that we're doing and the impact that we're having. Because honestly, that's what's kept me going the last 4 years since our launch. And it really is pretty incredible to be able to create something out of nothing that's having a life-changing impact. So they have to be aligned with our vision, our purpose here at Kind Cup, regardless of, you know, whether it is more of a senior partner level or someone who's helping more with the execution of overall strategies.
Gotcha. And on the other side, if you yourself were looking to work for a company that had a mission, a strong mission, whether it be, you know, social, environmental, what kind of company would you look for? It's kind of a tricky question. You know, there's greenwashing all over the place, from buying a product to working for a company that says they're just amazing, they're saving the world, and then they're not. Like, what would you advise somebody to look for in a company?
Well, I don't think I'd last long at a company that would doing that. Yeah.
Would it be product? Would you look for like a product, the products that they manufacture? Would that look at the social impact?
For me, I think I would look for opportunities to innovate, opportunities to create added value. I'm not sure that I would necessarily want to do that outside of what I'm building here, because that's what excites me. And that's not something that I would ever want to be compromising. And I say that because, unfortunately, I think as soon as you become part of a much larger company, corporation, there's going to be other priorities. And for me, that's never been a driving factor. So I think that the values, ultimately, to answer your question, is where I would have to find alignment.
Thank you, Christine Brown, for sharing your story with us. I'm really sorry we weren't able to publish the entire episode, but half an episode is better than none. I learned a long time ago that done is better than perfect. Here's some of my key takeaways from the interview. If you're ever feeling down, tired, and overworked, why don't you try Christine's phrase and maybe repeat it as a mantra? You got this. You are making a difference. Again, you got this. You are making a difference. Third's a charm. You got this. You are making a difference. You know, we all work really hard at our professions, and sometimes it's hard to push through and keep going when we don't see much progress, especially in our days of instant gratification. Whether you want to start your own business or work for one, make sure you innovate and add value to the work you are doing. And as promised at the beginning of the episode, Christine has a special discount for our listeners. Use the code GREEN10, all one word, GREEN10, and save 10% off at kindcup.com. If you want to connect with Christine and KindCup, you can email her at info@kindcup.com or reach out to her on Instagram at kind.cup or TikTok at kind.cup and Facebook KindCup. You can also sign up for her newsletter at kindcup.com. All of the links can be found in the show notes page on our website at greenbizpod.com/kindcup. Thank you so much for listening and have an amazing day, week, month, and year. Thanks so much for listening to the Green Business All-Star Podcast. If you enjoyed the show, I'd appreciate it if you would subscribe, like, and or follow the show on your favorite podcast app. Also appreciate it if you would leave us a review to help us share our mission and the mission of our guests to make the world a better place while sustaining a comfortable lifestyle. Peace to the planet, people, and making a profit.